pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number one, roll call, Gloria, please.
Commissioner Perkins?
Here.
Commissioner Stewart is absent. Commissioner Bauer?
Here.
Commissioner Murphy?
Here.
Commissioner Baker?
Here.
Commissioner Callahan?
Here.
Commissioner Gillette?
Ma'am.
Item number four, any alterations to the agenda? Any alterations to the agenda? Item number five, special recognitions and presentations. I'd like to call on Fire Marshal Barnes, please.
Good evening. My name is Paul Barnes, and I am the Fire Marshal for the town of Montville. I am also the career staff supervisor. The Montville Firefighters Association Local 3386 proudly introduces to you two of our brand new career firefighter EMTs, Noah Dabrowski and Joshua Braga. Gentlemen. Noah Dabrowski started his fire service career by joining the cadets in South Windsor in 2019. In 2020, he joined Colchester Fire and EMS. Through his time in Colchester Fire, he obtained his Fire 1 certification in 2020, his Firefighter 2 certification in 2021, and his EMT certification in 2024. He also obtained his Q endorsement to operate fire apparatus while also attending a basic pump operator certification class in order to build on his knowledge and skills in apparatus operations. Noah is a second generation firefighter, following the path of his father, who currently holds the rank of captain with Colchester Fire and EMS. His recent hiring with the town of Montville as a career firefighter follows his ambitions of making this great profession his career. Noah plans to further his education by taking additional courses and certification classes within the fire service to build on his knowledge, skills, and abilities. Josh joined Colchester Fire and EMS as a junior firefighter in 2018. Since he's turned 18, he has continuously been attending classes and trainings, as well as looking up to senior firefighter personnel for guidance to qualify for the position of firefighter EMT. Josh received his Firefighter 1 and EMT certification in 2022. He received his Fire 2 certification in 2023. Tonight, pinning Noah will be his father, Captain Robert Dombrowski. Josh will be pinned tonight by his parents, Helen and Durante.
I would just like to say, Josh and Noah, it was a pleasure when I interviewed with you guys at the your hearing to be chosen, and you two fellows were very good picks, I'm sure, for the town of Montville. I've heard nothing but good things, so keep up the good work, And is there anything that you need from us? Just ask. All right. Congratulations. We'll take if you want to take a few minute break, so if these guys want to get pictures, and then you can get out of here if you want. You don't have to sit and listen to the rest, unless you want to, but we'll take a 5 minute break.
Why to everybody?
Not for you, you were late. So you always make up to
turn it on. Oh. We're going to call the meeting back to order. Please also note on the record that Commissioner Stewart arrived at the meeting at 6:05. Okay. Item number 6, communications. I do have one thing under communications that I received from the Chief of Police. So I could just read into their minutes. It says, I'm writing this with heavy heart and regret to inform you that I have decided to take another position in the Eastline Police Department. My last shift will be Friday, May 24th. The only reason for my departure is the 12-hour shifts. I have been doing these shifts for 3 years, and I'm no longer able to sustain working the 12-hour shifts. I had no intention of leaving so quickly. The opportunity came up with Eastline, and I felt the need to take it. I am honored that I was able to work with such a great department and a wonderful group of people. I would like to stay on as a per diem, if that's possible. Sincerely, Melissa Spaulding, dispatcher. Any other communications? You should have all gotten, I believe, all of them. No. Didn't get building?
No building.
I must have gotten an old one then.
That was probably from last month. Yeah. They did a quarterly.
Oh, okay. That's what I was thinking. Must have been thinking of. To consider item number 7, to consider an act on a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of April 22nd, 2024. Somebody want to make a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion remains second to accept the minutes as read and as printed of April 22, 24. All those in favor say aye.
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 Oh. Hold on, I missed the remark.
A couple of real small corrections for you, Gloria. On page 7 of 9, down at the bottom of the page, it talks about, 4 sentences up. It's an acronym. It should be NFPA, not NFDA. Right, not NFDA. And on page 9 of 9, the last, just before adjournment, the last two sentences said, lastly, he reported OM, the rescue of a lost child. So I believe that that should have been on, reported on, not I believe. Maybe. That's all I got.
Any others? Although, do we have to have a special to correct that? We don't need that, right? Just to correct it as is. What he read. Yeah. All right. All those in favor of adopting it as amended, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed. Item number 8, any remarks from the public? Agenda items only with a 3-minute limit. Any remarks from the public? Agenda item only, 3-minute limit. Please state your name and your address and speak into the mic, please.
Thomas McCarthy, 62 Beachwood Road, Oakdale. Regarding 12A and 12C, I believe it's the parameters for the fire department tracking. I believe this was brought up back in September, so we're talking about 9 months, and I don't think one recommendation has been made yet. I honestly don't think it should take that long to come up with some tracking information, put some parameters access into a computer and enter the data. In regards to 12C, about M37, I'm coming up to try to oppose that. I don't really think Chesterfield needs a new rescue truck of $800,000, $500,000, whatever the number is. I would recommend them getting new tools, hydraulic, battery-operated hydraulic tools. They are needed there. They can be put on the engine to dispute what I believe Commissioner Baker said. Mutual aid is there for a reason. I don't think you should not call a unit out of Flanders, Cohansey, wherever you want to call them from, just because they might have an incident. Mutual aid agreements are there, so we have backup. My belief would be is to start 87, their heavy rescue, or any confirmed pin job on 85, 161. They're going to get there faster than Mohegan or Montville would with their rescue trucks. It's all about starting the closest unit, getting it there. Get your engine there with your battery tools, start the extrication, the heavy rescue comes in, brings their tools in, you complete the job. I think spending the money at this point in time when we don't have the manpower. You know, fires aren't put out by fire trucks, fires are put out by firemen. People are extricated out of cars by firemen. Not fire trucks, not rescue trucks.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else wishing to speak? Seeing no further, we'll move on. Remarks from department heads, item 9. Good evening, Lieutenant Radford.
Good evening. Dave Radford, Lieutenant Moffitt Police. I want to start out by saying congratulations to Firefighter Bragg and Dombrowski. I just want to pass along that our distracted driving spring wave grant has ended. It was for the month of April only. I just want to give you some basic stats.
I'm happy about that.
Well, we still got the speed grant out there. That's out there to the end, actually through next couple days, and then that's over.
All right.
Some basic stats for the distracted driving. Our officers worked a total of 20 days, 249 hours. They had multiple stops. I just wanted to mention before I read too many of the stats that, you know, again, this is about education and teaching rather than enforcement. It's about, you know, redirecting, fixing a problem, change of behavior. Basically, in this case, to get rid of the distracted driving to help prevent accidents, anything of that nature. So we had a total of, the numbers I'm going to read you now are just infractions. We had a total of 38 infractions for cell phone use. During the stops for cell phone use, we ended up with 4 suspended licenses. And then we also ended up with 15 various other citations for motor vehicle violations. But we did have a total of 452 stops during those 20 days that were worked by our officers. Again, it's about corrective actions and, you know, fixing problems. So that's that.
I have a question.
Yes.
Were any of those stops, citations, whatever, repeat offenders?
All right.
I don't know that for sure. I'm not at liberty to say. No.
Yeah.
I don't know that
no
for
idea.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I have the data, so I could go through and find that, but I don't know for sure.
Okay. Just curious.
But I can tell you, if the same officer got the same person, it was an infraction.
Yeah.
The second time.
Sure.
So moving on now to the animal control officer stats. 2024 activity report for the month of April. There was a total of 6 animals impounded. Year to date, 33. Animals sold as pets was 3. Year to date, 17. Animals DOA was 1. Year to date, 2. Complaints investigated was 53, 157 for year to date. Animal bites investigated were 4, excuse me, with 11 year to date. Enforcement action taken was 1 with 8 year-to-date. And total calls for service were 55, with 223 for year-to-date. And that was in the Montville stats. The Salem stats for the month of April 2024, one animal was impounded for 5 year-to-date. We had 3 complaints investigated for a total of 23 year-to-date. One animal bite, 3 year-to-date. And that was it for Salem.
Lieutenant, just one question on the in the Montville page. The animal bites investigated. That seems like an awful lot. Is it just that maybe you're monitoring it a little better or keeping track of it a little better? It just seems like every month we're getting. I used to remember seeing nothing ever put in there for bites.
My best politically correct answer for that is that we have noticed an uptick in bites. I can't speak for the past, but I can say that there has been an uptick, and everything is, as you're aware, when Officer Abella took over as the ACO, we revamped the program, and there is a lot more of documentation and accountability for our complaints that are responded to.
Okay. Thank you, Lieutenant.
You're welcome.
Any questions for the Lieutenant? Thank you, sir. Any other department heads? Good evening, Fire Marshal Barnes.
Good evening. Paul Barnes, Fire Marshal. Activity report for the Fire Marshal's office for the month of April. Inspections of businesses and apartments, we had 49. We had one fire investigation. The Deputy Fire Marshal responded to incidents 13 times. I was requested to the scene twice. We issued 3 burn permits. We had 1 illegal burn, 1 sprinkler acceptance test, and 3 construction project inspections. And during the month of April, a total of 24 hours was spent on emergency management obligations. Also, what I have tonight is the Fire Marshal's office, in conjunction with the career staff, are now offering what we call, what is marketed as File for Life. I'll pass one out to everybody.
Thank you.
So what this is, if you take the card out and look at it, it has all critical medical information for the person who resides in that house. If there's multiple people, these are designed, they have a magnet on the back. They're designed to hang on the refrigerator in the home. They are ideal for somebody who is incapacitated and can't answer questions. They're ideal for Alzheimer's patients, dementia patients, patients that are unconscious. It has spots on there for all medical ailments, for medications, dosage, primary doctors, insurance information, and their name and date of birth. I did give approximately 100 of these to Kathy Peck to pass out to her seniors. When myself and my deputy do inspections at Independence Village and Freedom Village, we're bringing 80 of them with us. We will pass them out to the seniors there. I still have half a case left. They are available in my office free of charge for the public, and they'll be going on the Department of Public Safety website tomorrow morning.
Good. Excellent.
Was this part of a grant?
No. I bought them out of my budget.
Oh, okay. Anything on the millstone drill? Or you just talked about next month?
I've been in contact with a couple of people from Millstone. The drill is still set to go June 4th.
Okay.
We did very well in the pre-drill rehearsal. We're all set to go, looking forward to the drill itself.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Item number 10, committee and liaison reports. Fire Department liaison, Commissioner Perkins.
The firefighters, Montville Fire Department sent, and I forwarded to you guys, the past 2 months, because remember his computer was down, for the March one. Sent that one out. Chesterfield sent me theirs. I forwarded that on along with Oakdale. I'm still waiting for Mohegan.
Thank you. Animal Control, Commissioner Callahan?
All set. Lieutenant read it all.
Okay. See your report from the Police Department Liaison, Commissioner Gillette.
Total calls of service were 1,831. Infractions were 138. Juvenile summons were 3. Misdemeanors were 14. Written warnings, 787. Total citations, 942. Thank you.
Is that it, Commissioner?
Yes.
Thank you. Remarks on fire chiefs. Any remarks on fire chief?
You forgot, Steve.
Gary, did you forget?
Forgot
I'm
Steve.
Sorry?
Building.
Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second, Steve. Commissioner Stewart, I'm sorry. Go ahead. For the department, building department.
The mayor probably would be able to better answer this. Have we had any applications for a building official, Mr. Mayor?
Sorry?
Building official, have we had any more movement on getting a permanent one?
Yeah, and I was going to make it part of my report.
I can say through the assistance of our COG, Council of Governments, we have just entered into agreement with them for them to hire a trainee building official. And once that trainee has, well, first of all, during the training, they'll work within the town. The town will pay a portion of their salary, and COG will pay a portion of the salary. 2 to 3 weeks' time, they should be ready to take the residential building official test. At which time, if they pass that, the town has the option of hiring them straight out. The real good news is when they advertised for it, we've already got 22 applicants.
Wow.
So I'm very optimistic about that. Once they're hired on full-time, they've been limited to residential inspections of single-family homes. And through training, additional training, and more experience, they'll move up into the commercial area. And depending upon their personal experience, they could eventually qualify as the building official. In the meantime, we'll see how the MAME contract turns out for salaries, and maybe we can attract additional applicants that are already certified. So, in one word, yes.
Good. Sounds good.
All set?
That's it.
Thank you. Now remarks from the fire chief.
Keith Truex, chief of the Chesterfield Fire Company. It was commented just a little while ago that you should be able to just enter some parameters and start collecting data on volunteer firefighter responses. Well, it's not that simple. If you just want the calls that we're going to and who's going to them, yep, we can do that right now. That's NINFERS, and that can already be done. But that doesn't capture the hours spent on training and the volunteers that are going to that. It doesn't capture all of the volunteers' time spent on fundraising. It doesn't capture volunteers' time when they're in the station doing maintenance on equipment. It doesn't capture the volunteers' time when they're just standing by at the station, you know, ready to man the ambulance or go out on an engine. So trying to figure out how to capture that data to truly show what the volunteers in town are really putting out for the town, that is a whole lot more involved than just setting a couple parameters. That is why this is taking so long. If all you're looking for is raw data on, you know, how many people are going on a call, that's already there.
Can I have a question for you then? I understand what you're saying. There's more to it to add to what they're asking for here. But I do know in the past they kind of wanted to know a list of your volunteers and what and who is going to a call. So we can run the list of the paid firefighters who go to the call, but we don't have a list of who from, like at Chesterfield, you sent, you and Steve, you guys went to a call. I try to get that information, and I only can get it from you guys, but it has to go into this system. So I think if you start out and input that information, and then you can always add to it that other stuff, like all the volunteer work that they do, fundraising and training and all that.
Well, what I don't want to see happen is all you're using is the call data, and you go, oh, look, the volunteers are only putting this many hours in, when it's probably actually triple that when you count maintenance and training and all that, fundraising and all the other activities that we do.
And I understand that, and I don't want to put anything down on the volunteers at all. That was a separate thing. I know it was brought up. They wanted to know who came out to the call so they can have that type of accountability. If you went to
Who is they?
We had a meeting on this over at Public Safety Building when everybody was together, and we wanted to get a list.
Right. The union wants to track it, and I still want to know why the union wants to track the volunteers' response.
This has nothing to do with the union, and I don't think it's a bad thing. Because then you can add to it, because look at all those stuff that you do.
Again,
outside.
The information's there. It's in NINFERS. We have that information. We're not hiding it. It's in there. What I'm saying is it's not reflecting everything. And if people take, a quarter of what is really there, and then they start using that, and then, we're just going to ignore all the rest of this.
I totally know where you're coming from, and I understand what you're concerned. I just know when we had another liaison up here, when I read the reports from the individual fire departments, it was brought up, and they had asked me, okay, you're here, and I'm going to use Chesterfield. Chesterfield went out on 40 fire calls, blah, 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 and then Oakdale did this, and this one did that. It was questioned, is it all together? Or did you really have Chesterfield had their own 40 and Oakdale had their own 35? You couldn't break it down at that point, and they wanted it broken down.
No, NINFERS will break it down. We'll break that down also. But again, if it's Oakdale's call, but if it's in Oakdale's primary response area, mm-hmm. and Chesterfield is going, or I'm going to use a scrapyard. All right, when that thing's burning. Does it matter whose call it is? Every single firefighter in town is going to be busy for 12 hours. Gary and his canteen crew are going to be there for 12 hours. We already know it. What does whose response area it is have to do with?
Because it was the real numbers of really how many calls that there were. If Chesterfield's, I'm just going off of the past. If Chesterfield said they had 20 calls, did Chesterfield actually go to 20 calls? No. Chesterfield had 20 calls, or it went out on the radio. But Chesterfield didn't report because they already had two people say, so you didn't have to go. But it showed up on the report on calls. And it was one of the past liaisons for the town council questioned, is it everybody all together or is it separate? Because it looked like there was a lot of calls and it didn't reflect the fire marshal calls. So, and I wasn't gonna say anything else after until you said if you had that information on the volunteers and where they go, I'm like, that's exactly what was asked for before. So that's not bad if you can provide that information and then add to it. Okay, they go to these calls, but this is not all they do. They also go to training. They also do this, they also do that.
And my concern, again, and I've talked to the mayor about it, is if we give you only part of the data, then
you're afraid that they're going to say that the volunteers don't do anything, right? No.
Yeah, we know it's going to happen. So,
let me just say that where I believe that it's at after talking to a couple of the chiefs, that they have the program is set. Almost set.
Yeah.
The problem being is that all four departments, and they're spending their own money, thousands of dollars, to get this program set up. Is each department set up a little bit different, so the program's all got to be set up and kind of geared to each department, but they're all, you know, trying to make it as close as can be. They work it, they send it out, they try to put the information, stuff's not going in correctly, it doesn't load up in the, you know, in the computer correctly, so they got to send it back to the company and get that all reworked again. That's where they are with this. So I still think they're a little ways away. I'm not sure how much further, but it's taken some time to get the program written, because it involves four departments that all have different things that they want inputted into it.
Right,
so it's
and this isn't a bad thing, Keith. Please don't take it that way. That he could have the volunteers and what calls they went on, that they went on. Well, I know that information was requested a while ago.
Yeah, and it's still in the process of getting it computerized.
Well, it's not really what you said. But
well, then I would suggest that if the town should pay for the whole thing and get it done quicker. I don't pay more money. I don't know. I mean, this is where they're at. I think, you know, Chief was right. They do have the IFRS report. If you want to get the names and the numbers off them, go ahead. Where the problem that I see is the crew is at Oakdale Station. There's a call down at Chesterfield. There's nobody down there that knows who's at that call if they don't make the report out. And there's a lot of times, I know for myself, when there's a call comes over, I click on a thing that I'm going to the firehouse, and then they get returned in the process, I just go home. I don't even go to the firehouse. So technically, by Oakdale's rules, I'm not supposed to even be counted because I didn't go back to the firehouse. That's their rule. It's always been that way. If you want credit for the call, you have to go back to the firehouse, sign in on a sheet, get signed in, and you get credit for the call. But and that happens a lot. If there's nobody working there, you don't really know who came. I could say 10 people showed up, but did they? I don't know. So, I mean, you got to let these guys, you know, work it out. This is a big deal. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of work.
My point by coming up here was it's not that we're not working on it, because, as Commissioner Murphy just said, we are working on it. But we don't want to give half of the data. It's just not ready yet. The EMS charts, you know, to get all the data through it, it's not easy, like he said.
It's not easy to write. It's a big program. It's not cheap.
No, it is not cheap. And then the other thing I would like to address is, real quick, the comment on M37. Chesterfield has had M37 at least as long as I've been a member, so they have had a rescue for more than 34 years. Started out as a light, went to a medium duty rescue. You are not going to fit the rescue tools on the engine that we currently have. That engine is not big enough. It's already stuffed as it is. We're not going to fit any more tools on it. We need to replace the rescue, but that's a different line item agenda, and I'll speak under that.
Thank you, Chief. Item 12, unfinished business. 12A, to consider an act and a motion to approve policy to systemize and retain firefighter data, observe trends and effectiveness. I would just say we move it along to next month, unless you feel differently.
I agree.
It's already been addressed.
All right, B. Fire company's radio system upgrades. Commissioner Baker.
Chief Messer from Oakdale is here, and he's basically heading up that project to give us a report tonight on where we are.
Chief Micah Messer, Oakdale Fire Department. I just wanted to, Mr. Baker asked me to come and talk to you and get you up to speed on where we were with the radio system. So the beginning of last year, we met and started talking about going to the state system. Around the July time frame, we engaged with the state, had some meetings with the state. They asked for MOUs and bylaws from all four departments. They had to separate them into four separate MOUs. So we gave them all of the data that they requested. They had the commissioner sign off on it, so we're approved to move into their system. We had submitted to them all of the frequencies that we were requesting for fireground, for TAC channels, for interoperability with all the other agencies in town. Those have gone through. Right now, the state, we had a meeting last week, and they said to present them with what radios we're looking at to make sure it has all the right features and options so that we don't have to go back and add things later. So all that's been submitted. So we are waiting on the town. Last year, when we started this, the council had requested that money come from the LOSIP, request the state for an early withdrawal of $350,000. The finance director, after talking to her, said that she submitted the letter and did not receive a response from the state. We're getting close to July 1 now, so I mean, it's really not, by the time we get it approved for an early, it'll be July 1. So I'm hoping that the town is thinking, because we were looking at another $350,000 at July 1. This is about a $1.2 to $1.5 million changeover, depending upon what radio brand we go with. So the $700,000, if we can get two installments, the $350,000 from last year and the $350,000 for July 1, that would get us about halfway to our goal of moving over to the 800 system. That would at least get people that need to have radios and apparatus and the staff that work during the day to have radios for them to be able to communicate. If we only get 350, it's going to limit. We're going to be grabbing a lot of radios off of trucks, and it's going to add a whole other layer of confusion and aggravation to it.
How does the how does it work to get the second half?
So when I talked with the council, the way they made it sound is they understand that this is a commitment from the town of about $350,000 a year until we complete the project. We also are, we put in for a grant with a grant writing company that was absolutely horrible and botched the whole thing up. So we're going to resubmit next year for the grant. And that is also inclusive of all of the career staff. It's been separated into four different groups because we're applying as four different departments for the grant. So our hopes are to get that money back with the grant if we can get approved for that.
Any questions for the chief?
I've got a understanding question. So LOSIP is money coming from the state through the town. Correct. So we're looking at basically four years worth of LOSIP to get this thing done, looking at a $1.4 million project.
The last council had described it sounded like at least the first two payments were going to come out of that. I don't know about the third and possible fourth payment.
Okay.
It's possible you could get a grant.
If we get a grant, then we should be able to get all the money back, or pretty close to all the money back. At least $1 million is, I think, what we're eligible for based on our the size of our town.
Did you say you were waiting on the town?
Yes. Yeah, we can't buy the radios until we have the money. So
let me just add that the tomorrow night is the setting of the mill rate and setting the budget, and I forgive me, I don't have the facts in front of me on where that radio system and every other line item stands, but there is a plan in place, and I'm pretty sure that we'll be all set tomorrow night.
Okay. Good.
Do you have anything else for the chief? The other thing I want to say is that thank you guys for putting in a good word for the canteen, for us to get our radio. I appreciate it. And the town is not paying for it. We're getting it through Department of Homeland Security. By the goodness gracious of Mike Kaplan, have helped us out a lot to get it, and it'll be make a big difference for us.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
Lieutenant Radford?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Lieutenant Radford, Mopo Police. If I may just speak about the radios and the dispatch side of it. Part of this upgrade for the fire departments is going to also have to include dispatch upgrade. A lot of moving parts, but basically with that said is in our capital improvement next year, next budget cycle is when we're going to be putting in for our dispatch to be upgraded, not this current one. With that said, until that happens, there's either going to be money that needs to be spent to integrate the fire department radios into dispatch that will then go by the wayside, or it needs to wait until that upgrade of dispatch happens. That's it in a nutshell, if anybody has any questions. I just wanted that to be out there so it was people were aware, so it's not a surprise when, you know, they say they have half the radios, but we can't use them unless we do this.
Yep.
Was going to ask Chief Messier if that was considered part of the program as well to upgrade dispatch, or are we just talking about mobiles and portables?
So I did talk with Dave about that, and it's roughly about $70,000. I think what he's saying is they're looking at the big picture of getting us all on board with it, and they're going to a whole new system. So we had talked the other day. I had said to him that we're going to be going to the town, and I had already talked to Councilor May about this, that we're going to need about $70,000 to upgrade dispatch to be able to record four channels for us. So maybe it would make sense to take what they need to get dispatch up to the current standard and do it sooner. Because we're going to need it. We're not going to be able to do that 800 system without that. So either the town pays $70,000 and abandons the equipment, or we push his up and get his done.
This was based on the meetings that we used to have last year when we had dispatch and police and fire chief involved, knowing
this,
that.
It's advanced from that. Okay. I mean, just to add what Chief Michael was just saying, that 70 is roughly, and I don't have hard numbers yet, but just speaking to our vendor, that's roughly half of what it's going to cost to upgrade dispatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to come up and make it, I didn't want it to be a surprise to anybody.
So taken.
Nothing's cheap.
Uh-uh. You all set, Commissioner? Thank you. Item number C, discussion on condition replacement of the Chesterfield M37 rescue truck. Commissioner Stewart.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about replacing this and in the weeds, so to speak. So I thought it'd be good to put it on the agenda, but in actuality, it'd be for information. We've already approved on our side the capital improvement plan, which includes $625,000 for this unit. We've talked to Chief Truex past couple meetings to get some information. He may have more information. Maybe this is not worth pursuing at this time, because once the town budget is approved, then it'll have to go out to bid, and you know, we'll probably have to look at a spec and that type of thing. But if you feel it's apropos, we can have Keith come up and provide some more information.
Did we approve it?
The capital plan, yes.
Yeah, the capital plan.
It's part of the capital plan right here. See, do you remember this?
Chief?
Keith Truex, Chief of the Chesterfield Fire Company. Last time I spoke to you guys about the truck, at that time we were looking at a medium-duty rescue. We looked at a rescue pumper, and we were looking at a F-550 light-duty rescue. The rescue pumper is in the range of $1 to $1.2 million, as we discussed before, and it's a lot larger than the current engine we have, which means it wouldn't fit in a lot of the places that we currently need to be able to get an engine into, some of these smaller driveways and such. Kind of makes a rescue pumper not really a viable item between the cost and the size. For the F-550 light duty, spoke to U.S. Fire Apparatus, which a lot of people won't know that name, but they may know Ferrara Fire. Chris Ferrara was making fire trucks for a really long time, sold his business, and had a five-year non-compete clause. Well, his clause is now up, and he now has a new company, U.S. Fire Apparatus. They do build Ford F-550 rescue trucks. Once the body is on there, before you put any people or equipment in it, you have about 4,000 pounds left before you exceed the vehicle's GVW. And I don't think any of us want to advocate overweighting a vehicle, you know, knowingly right from the start. The truck that we've specced out and that I have a price on, originally, when I was looking at medium-duty rescues last time we spoke, they were still up in the range of $800,000, but then Commissioner Baker pointed me to U.S. Fire Apparatus that I didn't know was out there, and the cost of a medium-duty, fully equipped with all the tools and everything, ready to go out the door, radio, lighting, all the tools, lettering, is going to be $580,000. So well under the budgeted amount in the capital plan. The other chiefs and I had a meeting this morning. They want me to look at another option before we, you know, go hard and fast. Hey, this is what we're gonna do, so that we can say, hey, we did all due diligence, you know, and this is what's best for the town. They're looking at a light duty rescue. My concern is that the equipment isn't going to fit on it. But I'll look, I'll see if it actually fits.
So do you have anything else before I ask you a question? I don't want to interrupt you.
Other than when we presented it at the finance committee, they are looking at lease purchase for it, just so you guys know how.
A rough cost of about $140,000
I think
a year.
Yeah, 120 or 140, somewhere in.
It would depend on how many years.
Hmm?
It would depend on how many years.
Yeah. So, on the, with the town of Montville having the rescue equipment that we do in our town, why do you feel it's necessary to have a heavy-duty rescue in Chesterfield?
It's not a heavy-duty. It's a medium rescue.
All right. So you're not putting on...
The original spec... So when I called U.S. Fire Apparatus, I said, I'm looking for a medium-duty rescue. And he said, we just built this one here for West... Baton Rouge, I think, was the department that he built it for. He said, here's the spec, and it looked really nice, had a Cascade on it. Well, we took the Cascade off because we already have two of them in town. Don't need it. So things have come off. I was originally looking at Hamaltro. The other three departments have Hearst, so we'll shift to Hearst so that everybody has the same thing. We're, you know, trying to go with the uniformity. We're doing the due diligence.
Well, you know, I've said this before. I'm not in favor of the truck as a whole. I think it's a lot of money. There are a ton of rescue trucks, you know, in the area, heavy-duty rescues. But I do understand what you say about protecting your own district. I get it. That was always my philosophy. I always felt I would like to have my department have everything I need to put that house out across the street if it was on fire, just from my station, never mind anybody else. If I go to a car accident, do I have everything I need to get that person out of that car? That's what I always strive to do. Everything else that came was extra. So I do understand that. I just think that this is a lot of money for a fire, I don't even know if you should even call it a rescue truck. You know, if you're not putting that much equipment on it, like, you know, heavy duty equipment, maybe you might want to figure out another terminology for it. It just boggles my mind, the price of this stuff. And my other concern is, and the equipment that you're putting on it, all the other departments, I may be wrong about this, but I believe that all the other departments have paid for their own rescue equipment. And I believe that it's in your budget, in this plan, that the town would buy your hearse tool, cutters, spreaders, bags, whatever you're putting on it. But I believe, I know that Montville and Oakdale did, and I believe Mohegan did, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yes, and in the past, we did also. But in the past, an ambulance didn't cost $480,000 to replace. And, you know, that's where the money's going from ambulance billing is to replace the ambulance.
And you make a very good point, because the price of an ambulance was just under $300,000 last year. Now it's $450,000, $425,000 for a new ambulance. And we're not talking loaded ambulances here. And they're taking 2 years to make them. But that's my only concern, Chief. I just, you know, the price of it and...
Right, and in the past, so the rescue tools that are on the current M37, Chesterfield did buy. But again, the rescue tools, you know, they're not cheap anymore, just like the vehicles. And again, we have to look at, you know, making sure we're able to afford to replace the ambulance, and we've got to be able to replace the service vehicle that the paid staff uses going around town. Because town doesn't pay for that either.
Well, maybe next time they get a police car, it's finished its life cycle, because they don't drive lights and siren anymore, so they can just go in a regular car.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just...
Yes, sir.
I just want to say that... you know, when the whole conversation first started about M37, I was kind of on the fence. And looking at it and listening to the position that everybody was taking and the discussions on it, I considering also that my platform has been about development, I think we need the rescue on that side of town. And if we don't meet the demand, the needs for fire service overall, we're sending the wrong message to any potential development that might come to that side of town. We have rescues in Montville and Mohegan, and those two are far enough apart from each other where it provides a timely response. It's just like the staffing of Chesterfield, as much as we are able to afford at this time. If we don't staff it, again, we're sending the wrong message to any potential development. And the key to our survival here, our fiscal well-being, is development.
Well, again, I'm not disagreeing with you, Mayor, on that at all. I would like to see before, and I'm sure that the town council would like to see, what the final numbers are. It's hard to approve anything without, and that's why we voted to put it in the capital plan, so that they can look at it when those numbers come in.
So the maximum number is going to be 580,000, the maximum number.
So you're going to say here, undeniable, that it, on that microphone, which is recorded, that if it comes in more than that, you're going to pay for it.
Unless the vendor suddenly increases his costs, which right now he's telling us he's going to hold.
Well, that's why I'm saying we should. But it's going to be difficult. Because
what this vendor is telling me is he has a chassis right now. So if we were to either go out to bid and close the bids within 30 days and he wins it, or if we were to go to a direct bid, they would start building and we would have this truck September, October delivered to us that quick.
It if I may.
Sure.
The fact that he's got somebody saying that he can build it for $580,000 is kind of, I mean, it's nice to hear, but we have basically a ceiling of $625,000. So
was my point, Steve.
Yeah. Arguing about what it actually is when it still has to go out to bid anyway is really a waste of time.
And the 580 includes all the tools, the radio, everything. That's all in that.
Keep in mind that the Public Safety Commission plan was that this be part of capital improvements. And there's, trying to divide up all the money that we can do. The council is prepared to go in the direction of the lease, because they're trying to use the money intended for capital improvements as well as we can.
My only question.
Do we plan on? I know you made a comment about having help on that side of town and everything. Do we plan, or do you see in the future? And I'm not setting you up, but I'm so sorry how it's going to come out, though, that each fire department will be manned with paid people? And only because you brought that up. So if Chesterfield had 24-hour coverage in Montville and Oakdale and Mohegan, then maybe I would think you would need your equipment because you're 24-hour coverage. So from here, you're going to go out to a scene. Or if it's Oakdale, they're going to go out to a scene.
I can only answer that by saying if we can afford it.
All about money.
Any other discussion?
The only question I have for the chief is, you said you met with the chiefs?
Yeah, we
had a meeting. To discuss the replacement of this vehicle?
Yes.
Did they agree that there is a rescue needed in Chesterfield?
Yes, it's just whether we should, have a light duty, whether we could get away with a light duty, or whether we would need a medium duty because of the equipment that goes on it. When you start adding the ice sled, all the reels, the rescue tools, the rescue jacks, the cribbing, the airbags, things like that, is that going to fit on a light duty rescue?
But they all agreed with you that vehicle needs to be replaced.
Nobody disagreed.
M37 needs to be replaced as a rescue.
Yeah, we had discussed some things like, again, the rescue pumper. Chief Messer had brought up a mini pumper. But again, a mini pumper isn't going to give you full rescue capabilities. It'll give you water, which is great for MVAs that have car fires, but you're not going to have your full rescue capabilities.
I mean, the four chiefs in the town are the ones that know what they need to protect the town. And that's why I asked that question. If the four chiefs all agree that M37 should be replaced.
Yeah, I will be honest, the concern is that M15 is a few years away from being replaced, and the sticker shock on that,
Shouldn't we assess? I mean, I know we brought this up at our last meeting. Shouldn't we assess all the vehicles in town before we start buying? Or
we do. We have a plan. We have a 25-year plan.
Or it's the statistics of, I think I asked it last time, how many times has that rescue truck come out, even in a month?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe 10, 15? Went out four times.
No, I don't.
In this last month, there were four MVAs that it responded to. I didn't look to see if it went to any, CO alarms or anything like that, because depending on where the CO emergency is, or if there's a report of a structure fire, depending on which district it is.
So I was just asking, because down in Chesterfield, I know the time split, right. So we happen to have the paid people down there, so they took out the M37. But if the call came when the time that they were at Oakdale, then Oakdale's rescue truck would go out.
Oakdale, we don't have one.
Have a rescue truck. That's why this is the only rescue truck on the west side of town. Oakdale does have rescue tools on their engine, but they don't have a rescue truck.
So every time a call, Oakdale went out on a call, there was not a rescue there?
If Oakdale needs a rescue, if it's an MVA, depending on where it is, if it's an Oakdale Chesterfield call, then M37 is coming, and Chief Messer has on his run cards to automatically start M17 as a heavy rescue.
Okay. Which is Montville's.
I knew.
Okay.
I know.
Well, not everybody in here.
I know a little bit.
I just have one quick question. So you were looking for the medium?
Bless you.
Yes.
What would be the biggest difference from medium to light? Would you be losing a lot of things that you need for the medium size?
The only medium that I have looked at so far was that Ford F-550, and as I said, you're at 4,000 pounds that you can put on it before you're overweight. Now, NFPA says figure 250 pounds per person because that includes their gear. Well, that's a four-person cab. We could go to a two-person and cut that weight down to 500 pounds, and then we have 3,500 pounds left to put gear in, but that's not a lot.
So I think what I was saying was, like, if you have a heavy duty or right
well,
now.
We're not looking at a heavy rescue. That's Montville and Mohegan.
Okay, so M37 needs help. Right. So you were looking at the medium size, the 550. The light one.
The 550 is the light one.
Oh, the 550 is the light one.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So it would hold just a few tools that you would need, as opposed to
it would hold
mostly everything that you.
It would hold a good amount. It looks like. So I don't know if you saw the ambulance that was out here. Mm-hmm. That's a Ford F-550.
Okay.
Just to give people that don't know a reference, our ambulances, at least mine and Oakdale's, are Ford F-550s.
Do you have any vehicles down there that you do not use?
Other than M34, which is a company-owned brush truck.
That the town owns, I'm so
no.
Sorry. So every, if I asked you how many pieces of equipment down there that the town owns?
Four. They own the engine, the tanker, the rescue, and M33, the one brush truck M33. That's it.
I don't want to put you on the spot and ask how many times it's come. I'm sorry.
I know that somebody threw out there that there's 32 pieces of fire apparatus in town and made it sound like the town owned all of that, and that's not the case. There's somewhere between 15 and 16, I believe, town pieces of fire apparatus.
So you
and none of them just sit in a bay and just rot. They don't.
What do you have four, and what are they again?
I have an engine, a tanker, a rescue, and a brush truck. Everything else in my station is owned by Chesterfield.
And what are those numbers, M or?
So you have
M37 is the rescue.
Right. So we have M300, the ambulance.
That's you. You own that, though.
Right.
The town truck, the four that you listed.
Oh, so M31 is the engine. M32 is the tanker. M37 is the rescue. And M33 is the brush truck.
Thank you.
And while we're on that subject, because I heard the same number thrown out there, 32. I did a little research. So I'll read off to you what's town owned.
Look into the mic so they can hear you.
Sure. Chief, you told us what you had. Montville has two engines, a 100-foot ladder truck, and one heavy rescue. Chief Messer, correct me on one of these. You have one engine, two tankers, and the prime mover, which is a state-owned vehicle, but it is town control, so they have three vehicles that the town of Montville owns, correct? Okay. In Mohegan, two engines, one rescue, one brush unit. And the brush unit we're not sure on. I'm waiting to hear back from Corey. That was purchased through a grant. My belief that the town paid 20% of the rest of it, so I'm not sure whose name it's titled in. I'm waiting to hear back from the chief on that. So the number of about 15 vehicles that our town of Montville owned is pretty close to being accurate, not 32.
So
the ambulances are owned by the fire departments. There's six of them. It goes on from there.
We discussed Mohegan's brush truck this morning, mm-hmm. and it is owned by Mohegan.
All right, so then Mohegan owns three pieces of equipment. Montville owns three pieces of equipment, domicile in Mohegan. And also, while we're at it, we talk about spare trucks that we can sell or what equipment we don't need. There is also an insurance services rating organization known as ISO, Insurance Services Organization. They come into town, and what they do is they take a look at what the town has for resources as far as vehicles, stations, response times, personnel, et cetera, et cetera. There is some pretty strict guidelines. You are rated from a number of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, 1 being the best. I don't know when the last time ISO was in Montville, and we can't seem to figure that out, but it's got to be at least 10 years ago, if not more. So we just can't start selling fire trucks or moving fire trucks around or emergency equipment around, because that will change the rating of insurance for commercial and residential structures in the town. So if we start getting rid of stuff, the taxpayers' insurance is going to start going up. The residential insurance is going to start going up. The mayor made a point. We're trying to attract industrial and commercial development. People aren't going to look in town where they're paying an arm and a leg for insurance because we don't have the fire protection to protect their occupancies. So I think we have to be very, very careful before we start making those decisions and talking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if we hire more firefighters, then we have them all to drive these vehicles.
It's just not hiring more firefighters. It's about equipment. You have to be able to put so much water on a structure, so many gallons per minute, and maintain that. If you don't have the engines and the trucks to do it, you can have a million firefighters. If we ain't got the apparatus to do it,
we can't pump the water. Volunteer firefighters. Montville hasn't been manned since the radon issue, and the ladder truck has not missed a single call. So volunteers are getting out, contrary to what we're hearing.
I'm not hearing that. Nope. They're not.
Is there a time limit that you have to let this company know that you want this truck or you don't want this truck?
No. Okay. It's just, again, you know, moving forward to the town council so the town council can move forward.
Okay.
He said they have the chassis, they keep getting chassis, so they can build it quickly if we go with this one. But again, I have homework assigned by the other chiefs to look at some other rescue trucks first.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank
you,
Chief.
Commissioner Stewart was with me the other night. Commissioner Stewart was with me the other night. Commissioner Stewart was with me the other night. The mayor was at the meeting, the town council finance committee meeting, which was last Wednesday night. Mayor, I think it was last Wednesday night.
Yeah,
it was over here in the little room, the small chambers there. And I had already spoke to Chief Murphy before we did this, and Chief Stewart. We went in and asked them at their meeting to make sure that this was part of this year's capital committee and that there was going to be funding in place. So if it was approved, we could make a move before the prices had an opportunity to increase. You've all heard me talk about the diesel engine stuff coming. Eventually, Cummins is going to pull a plug on that. Price is going to go up. We're trying to avoid that at all cost. So we contacted U.S. Fire. They sent us some lease purchase agreement from two of their different companies that they deal with. That doesn't mean the town has to use those two companies. But as the mayor said, one of them for the 7 year was $109,000, I believe it was, and the 5 year was $145,000 per year for the terms of 5 and 7 years. They are a closed-end lease. At the end of the lease, you own the truck. It's not like an open-end lease like when you buy a car. So at the end of the lease, you decide to give it back or keep it. This is a closed-end lease. You own the truck after 5 years or 7 years. But the town can also, the finance director can also go out and get other pricing from leasing companies. That's certainly her purview. But we just wanted to have some figures there for forecasting the budget to make sure that that money was in place and there was a place for it. That's why we did it. But obviously, we have to approve it. It has to be approved by the council. But at least we are putting our ducks in order to make sure that not everybody's scrambling the last minute for mid-year appropriations, which I'm sure would not make the taxpayers happy.
Anything else? Somebody want to make a motion?
There really isn't any need to do anything that I can see. I mean, we've already approved recommendation of the capital plan to go to the town council, and that's what the town council is working on. And so I don't see any need to do anything else.
So can I ask something? I understand exactly because I didn't know what we were going to have to approve tonight. But if this has already been pushed forward, why do we just talk about it for the last 45 minutes? Mm-hmm. If it has nothing, no bearing anymore on us.
The money is in place.
No, just ask.
Right, the money is in place, but it has to be for the town council, Mr. Mayor, correct me if I'm wrong, for the town council to act on it, we have to make a motion to say we are in favor of replacing this vehicle. And Commissioner Murphy brought up a good point. Chief Truex is 580. The company said they can do it for the 580 as long as we act in a timely manner to get it there. But you could also make a motion saying that you approve the replacement of M37 not to exceed X amount of dollars. And that gives the town council, they know where they've got to go and they know what they've got to look at for revised leasing.
Chairman, I thought this already went through.
We forwarded our capital improvement plan to the town 2 months ago. And that was our obligation to move it ahead to them.
Now on a specific truck that he would come back with specs and all that, and then that's what we're going to approve to go forward is the specs. We're like, yeah, okay, put it on the capital improvement. But now when it comes down to the specs, and like this is the, like he said, if you get it by in a certain time, you can get it by September for 545 or whatever. He's going to come back to us on that with the actual specs, correct?
You could ask him to, certainly.
I'm trying to figure out what our position right now is on this. Like, why are we still talking about it if it's already been set to be approved to go to town council?
If I could just chime in on here, I think what they're looking for at this point is just to reiterate your support of going forward with M37 for tomorrow night. Just to reiterate it.
So when you say they, Mr. Mayor, are you talking about the town council's asking this? Because this agenda item was put on by Commissioner Stewart, so I think that's part of the confusion.
Town council, I didn't say that.
That's what I'm asking for clarification. You said the word they. I'm looking for clarification.
This motion is looking to reiterate that there is support for M37 is there.
It was just a discussion of talking about it. It wasn't a motion, is it?
Somebody can make a motion. It can be, it says, you know, that we can discuss it.
Oh, we do.
This is our replacement. So you want to make a motion, you can make a motion.
If you're looking for the spec, I can give you the spec for this truck, but I haven't looked at the other light duty.
That's what I mean.
I have the spec for this truck.
I appreciate the fact that you're looking here, and then you talk to the chiefs, and there might be a better option?
Why do we need spec?
Well, it's a different option.
Why do we need to make a motion?
There might be an option that works.
Right, so why are you going to...
There may be a cheaper option that we can go with.
Can you get that and come back to the next meeting, and we can, or send it to us before our next meeting, so then that's something, that I can see something going on.
It's irrelevant.
Because I think that's
never
irrelevant.
Mind, it's irrelevant.
She's confused, and that's what I asked.
Well, I guess my question would be, are we going to now, as a commission, is it our job to tell the fire department what to spec in their new vehicles? Is that our job? Never has been before. So why are we starting it now, number one? And number two, if this is going to be the new norm, then we're going to have to sit here and fight about specs on a fire truck that are 100 pages long that really nobody knows what they are or understands them.
I asked why we wasted 45 minutes talking about it when it was already pushed through.
Chairman.
I believe the mayor answered that question. To affirm
Chairman.
The support of this commission to replace M37.
It already went through.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to support the capital improvement plan item for replacement of M37. The fire chiefs, in particular Chief Truex from Chesterfield, be the point of contact for determining what type of vehicle is needed.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
A motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Roll call vote.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
Motion fails, 4-3. I'll be going to the meeting tomorrow night, and I will report that to the town council. Any other new business? Any remarks from the public? Non-agenda items only. Non-agenda items only, 3-minute limit.
Good evening, John Mead with Deputy Fire Marshal, Fire Marshal's Office. I just wanted to make the commission be aware that we recently just received a $50 donation from the Stop and Shop for batteries for smoke detectors. As we'll be going down around in our condos and our homes, we'll be assisting them in installing their batteries, so they'll have brand new batteries, so everything will be up to code. Also, I have received a $360 grant from the Connecticut Fair Plan for distant lasers. This is to help assess, make sure everything is in range like it's supposed to, like the fire hydrants and fire extinguishers, make sure they're within distance. Also to measure the room to make sure everything is up to code as it should be. Makes it easier instead of pulling out a tape measure. At this time, the grant is on hold for the $360 because I guess it has to go straight to the finance committee, which has to be then approved for them to put the money into our account so that we could spend the money. So the grant is staying pretty much in our office until we can get the money approved for that. So just to let you know, I guess it goes into general fund. So, and that's it.
Thank you. Any other remarks in the public, non-agenda items? Any other remarks in the public? Anybody else in the public wishing to speak? Seeing none, we'll move on. Remarks from the mayor?
I'd like to once again congratulate our new hires, John Braga and Noah Dombrowski. I told them myself personally just a few minutes ago that took part in their interviews, and I was impressed with their the way they handled themselves, and I think they show great promise for the town of Montville. For the animal control facility, we're still conducting water tests. We received two tests back, one for the VOC, which is organic compound, and one for ETPH, which is for petroleum, and both of them were negative. The water source there is not contaminated. I'm still awaiting a test for potability, basic potability. I just want to say that the accusations being made about we're allowing the animals to drink contaminated water is inflammatory and is derogatory. The condition of the facility has improved greatly, and it's directly related, attributable to Chief Blanchett and his selection of an animal control facility to replace the previous animal control officer. He's done a great job with cleaning it, and to the point where we're going to request the state come back and inspect it again. It's habitable, it's humane, and it's suiting our purpose right this moment. Don't lose track of the fact that we have to replace it. Okay? Don't lose sight of that. The question is how much we're going to spend and how much we can get from the state. We have an unfunded state mandate to comply with new regulations, and that's what's driving this, not condition that is there. This is taken completely out of proportion. As far as the data collection source, there's two programs out there. One is the PSAP. I'm correct on that, PSAP. And the other one is the ESO program. Once we have the go-ahead from the chiefs, I'm going to bring both those programs and bring them back to the Public Safety Commission here, and I'm going to ask you to decide which program we're going to use. And when the Public Safety Commission decides on which program we're going to use, that's the one we're going to use. It's just like the uniforms, the turnout gear. We're all going to wear the same gear, and we're all going to use the same reporting system. The Gardner Lake boating has started up, and I know that the police department is doing the best they can to provide the boat out there, to get it out there, to make that place safe. And I know Salem is doing the best they can to provide some police visibility there and showing their colors to control the partying and the chaotic atmosphere that we all heard about and even saw last year. I think we're going to see a big difference this year. We just completed the OSHA inspection. We rounded up $15,000 in fines. We're able to narrow it down to $8,000, and we're submitting our compliance reports now. Overall, it wasn't a bad inspection. I thought they were their fines were a little excessive, but as far as what they found, we did pretty good.
Did you say OSHA?
OSHA, Con OSHA, yes.
Is it buildings or?
They did buildings, and they did records, they did files, training records, mostly equipment. I think that's it. Any questions for me?
Was it fire equipment, office equipment, police equipment?
It was not fire. The only thing we did was the police department, the animal control facility, which passed.
Okay,
it passed. I mean, there was a couple things. We had a tripping hazard overall. And one of the things that they brought out was the asbestos contaminants that exist in there. We're doing another air test on that to abate that, to make sure that we don't have that problem. But, lifts, ladders, getting back to the areas that they checked was the transfer station, a WPCA pumping station, the WPCA sewer treatment plant itself, and public works. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let's see, the liaison's not here. Remarks from the commission, Commissioner Gillette?
All set.
Mr. Callahan?
All set, thank you.
Commissioner Baker?
As always, thank you to the public safety team for doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
Mr. Bauer? Commissioner Stewart?
I'm good.
Mr. Perkins?
That's correct. Congratulations to the two new firefighters. Also want to say thank you to the volunteer firefighters, the paid firefighters, and the police for your services.
Thank you. The only thing I want to say, a couple of things. Everybody always thinks that OSHA is a bad word. OSHA is really not. It's not really a bad thing. They don't like them because we get fined from them. So, but they're really there to help the worker and to make sure that you're safe and you're able to go home at night and that employees can't have equipment that's decrepit, old, bad things that happen. So, we should always look at them as favorable, as we can, if we can get them to come in. I know, I'll always speak for Oakdale because I do know that they bring in motor vehicle, they come in, they inspect the equipment, and to make sure that they're all up to inspections on their vehicles. And that's a good thing, because if they find something wrong, the only bad thing is they tag it right then and there and they take it out of service. But it also lets you know that they spotted a problem. I want to address M37. Chief, I'm not opposed to you having a rescue. I'm opposed to the amount that it costs for this rescue. Not deny you a rescue. So hopefully that when things are done, it's said that it is a cheaper somewhere, somehow, and we can get you what you need. Now I'll call for a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.